Welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Joria. Today's episode comes from a Facebook Live conversation I had on a show called Between Two Pulpits. The show is hosted by Bryce Wiebe and Lauren Rogers on the Presbyterian Church USA Special Offerings Facebook page. Each week, they have a live-streamed conversation with a church leader about theology, mission, and the special offerings. And last week, I was invited to be a guest on their show. Our denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA, has four unique special giving initiatives a year, and those are known as the special offerings. Cultivating generosity and harnessing creativity is something I have in common with the folks at Special Offerings, and we had such a fun time getting to talk about those things, and I'm excited to share our conversation with you all. We're going to link to the resources mentioned in the episode show notes if you'd like to know more about the work they do over at Special Offerings. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. We hope that this conversation and everything that we do here at Park Ridge Presbyterian helps your faith make a difference for you every day.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bryce with Special Offerings in the Presbyterian Giving Catalog, joined as I am every Monday between two pulpits by Lauren Rogers. Welcome, Lauren.
Hey, Bryce. Happy season of peace.
Right. It is that time, one of the best times of year, a time when we get to connect every single day with parts of the whole Presbyterian Church through the daily reflections, through the path of peace reflections. A season of peace has lots of different, games and cards and activities and ideas for people to use. It's a great time to get active in congregations and to make a fun plan for a new church year.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of creative ways to engage with this season of peace. One of those ways, as Bryce mentioned, is the Path of Peace Reflections. And this year, it looks a little bit different. It includes videos. It includes some really creative pieces showing how storytellers and visual artists and dancers and all these folks engage with peacemaking through their art. And then we have additional resources as well, like planning intergenerational events. It's so important to teach our young people that they too can be peacemakers. Right. So I'm really excited for this season.
Right. And since we've been, in our homes a lot over the last few years, the artistic creativity, being able to create things with your hands as a relationship, in relationship to things that you value and that mean something to you. And especially when we think then of the financial commitment that we ask for from people, for mission and ministry, it's an opportunity to take this time where we're maybe not as able to do some of the hands-on things and still create and still make in response to our faith and in connection to this ministry. I'm just excited for the spoken word stuff that's going on this week that they're reflecting on and all the things they're going to cover.
And I'm really excited. The first Path of Peace Reflection was brought to us by Michael Long, and we just found out today that we're going to have him join us later this month. He's going to do a reading of his new book that talks about the history of the peace sign. It looks really cool. So I'm excited for that and just other ways that we can engage together during the next month.
Right. Especially, when we see so many things going on in the world right now and so many disasters and geopolitical things going on. The ways it's easy to get lost, it's easy to feel small, it's easy to feel like we don't matter. And yet this is an opportunity for us to, recommit to being with one another and telling one another the story through all the ways that we have at our disposal. Absolutely. And we have someone who's really been creative that's going to share with us today, don't we, Lauren?
Yes, I'm so excited. We are going to be joined today by Amanda Joria. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. And Amanda, welcome. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your title is Associate Pastor for Children, Youth, Outreach, and Mission at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Illinois.
Yes, and everything else that they might come up with to add on to that.
Exactly.
But those are my four core areas, yeah.
And y'all might remember, we talked about Park Ridge earlier this year because Amanda put out a very unique challenge to her congregation during One Great Hour of Sharing. Amanda, will you share a little bit about that and where that came from?
Sure. Well, like a lot of great things in my life, we can give my mother credit. My mom showed up at my house. So I had a daughter in the beginning of the pandemic. So she's now a little over 1 year old. My parents live kind of nearby. They've helped a ton with her. She showed up at my house one day with my old Irish step dancing costume. My mom likes to just bring things as her sign of, you know, we don't want to live in this giant house forever. We're going to downsize.
Right, here's another box.
Here's another bag. Here's this Irish step dancing costume that you have not worn since you were 15 or something. And it was the week of St. Patrick's Day. And so first I just needed to know, does this thing fit? Like, I had a baby. I want to know, can I wear this? And then it's not, if you've seen professional or competitive Irish step dancers, it's not just the dress, it's the wig that comes with it. That's been a source of a lot of comedy in my family because it's a very straight hair. And Irish step dancers, when they compete, wear these bouncy, curly wigs. And to keep them clean, I guess you keep them in like a Tupperware box. So there's been a Tupperware box of wig hair in my mom, in my childhood bedroom at my parents' house for over a decade. And she was like, this is yours now. So I just wanted to see if it fit and what I looked like with that wig on. And so I put it on and burst out laughing. I was like, people need to see this.
Right.
But right.
Also, if I'm going to put this on the internet, like, we should get something out of it.
Right. So, and I personally want to borrow the wig.
Yeah. Come on over. I'll send it to you. And so it fit. I was like, we need to be able to get something out of this because this is going to exist on the internet and that's embarrassing. And so, so I was like, you know what? I can still Irish jig. So if we raise a little bit of money, it was right around one great hour of sharing is around St. Patrick's Day. And it just was fun and it worked. And without telling Josh, who I work with, I also included him in this little
fiasco. Oh, I did not know that you did not tell him at first.
So I post this somewhere, you know, we were all still working from home then, church wasn't meeting in person very regularly. And so I post it all at my house without telling him anything. And then people are texting me, oh, I donated this much, I donated this much. And then I realized we were getting very close to that $500 threshold where I said, well, and if we raise this much, Josh will do it too. So I sent him a text. Hi, it's me, your friend. And remember how you'd probably do anything for the kids and for mission. And so I volunteered you for this. How does that sound? And he's a great sport. So we did that on a Sunday morning before church and posted it afterwards. And it was great fun for everybody. So I taught the senior pastor at our church an Irish jig, and because we raised well over our $500 challenge for One Great Hour of Sharing.
Yeah, it was one of y'all's biggest gifts to One Great Hour of Sharing, and that creativity that just, right, especially while everyone was at home, to just kind of get everyone rallied around something is so special.
Absolutely. And for us too, I think one of the things we learned about it was that's the most online giving traffic we've ever done, because our church has, you know, the way that these people have been taught to give in church is in church, in an envelope with their name and number on it. And that wasn't working in the last couple of years. And so we are really grateful that we figured out how we can have people give online with Zelle. And that's been great. And so it was really, that was the proof that this is working and we can engage people and connect with people, even when we're also very separated.
Right. Yeah. And even when it's not right on a Sunday or during, you know, this is something that was born out of a midweek happening in your life, right? That intersected with a way to be creative and engage in ministry, which, that's why I love talking a lot with leaders who work with young people, because I think it's a hallmark of that, and would love to hear a little bit about how you think of the inward ministry with family and children, and especially the youngest among us, and the ministry that you think of as outward in community, and where you draw those things together, because I think that's really important for what we do, Lauren. You and I, we do a lot of this too and love it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the access we have to one another now all the time is both a blessing and a curse, mm-hmm. but especially one of the gifts of social media right now is how we can connect with our community in a different way. And there are a lot of churches in Park Ridge, and there are people that go to church in Park Ridge, but not all the people in Park Ridge know about the churches or know anything about what goes on there. So one of the things that our social media presence has been able to do is connect with our community around generosity and giving and around community in ways that they might not care about anything else that goes on inside our worship services and our community life. But I think that there is a longing and a need of all people to connect when it comes to serving and giving and generosity. And I think it's really contagious. So one of the things I've seen in the last few years is the more that we're public and sharing stories about the ways that that's actually just part of church life and always has been, and the ways that we try to actually invite just people from the community to participate in that, whether that's financial giving because it was funny and they saw it on social media, or because it connects to a local hunger pantry, or, you know, we serve meals here on Sunday nights during the school year, and we've been able to connect with a lot of community leaders and community partners that, again, being a part of a faith community is not important to them, but responding to hunger is. And right. So I think there's something that's really important when it comes to connecting with community leaders about serving the community and having that be kind of your first extension of a relationship into the community. I think that always works. I think it works well. And I think it's faithful to have that be our first connection into the community and what we're known for. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to teach our young people that, right? I think kindness just makes sense to young people, especially the youngest of our people.
Right.
Kindness really, really makes sense. And I think if we can make generosity make just as much sense to them really early on, I just think it's the next generation's unstoppable then, right?
Absolutely. I mean, both Bryce and I have a background working with young people, so this is something we're very passionate about. What are some ways that you are specifically engaging the young people in your congregation right now?
Yeah, so the pandemic and our separation has impacted some of that, right? Because a lot of our interaction with young people for a long time was on Zoom. And so it's great to have people back in person now. One of the first things that when I came to this church back in 2018, there was a big disconnect between our family ministry and mission. We didn't have family-friendly mission opportunities. This church has participated in the Crop Walk for a long time. Are you familiar?
The
Niles Park Ridge Crop Walk is a big community effort, and that's family-friendly. You can go on a walk with a kid, right? So we first just tried to engage our young people in whatever we could. And so the Crop Walk was an example of that. We've done those coin collection boxes, again, trying to help our young people understand that their quarters could, we have a gumball machine at our church. I don't actually know how it got there, but there's a gumball. So if our young people have quarters, they are thinking about gumballs, but trying to help them think about how that could actually go in and help a kid somewhere else get a gumball, you know, or say probably not a gumball, but so coin collections have worked with our kids, especially if we're making them like competitions. Again, like having fun and a gimmick is not a bad thing when you're trying to cultivate energy and generosity around something. You don't want to do that, you know, just, you don't want to miss the real message and the point behind it, but also you can put on a wig and dance and that's okay too.
Well, right. And like, I love that you have a gumball machine. It immediately makes me want to do a little segment in worship with kids on mission called Something to Chew On, in which they get 50 cents and take 25 cents to get themselves a gumball that they chew, right? While you talk to them about mission and ministry, or like, that's something to chew on. That's something to chew on.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It would replace the minute for mission.
I won't do that, or I'll steal your idea and do it.
You steal the idea. Anybody should steal the idea. Steal that idea.
I love that. Yeah. And so I actually brought a prop. One of the other things that we did was we love helping our kids see that God's story is in a bunch of other stories too.
Right.
And so this bridge is great. One of the things that because we host this hunger program, it's a community run hunger program, but it moves churches every few years. So it's at our church right now. So I'm heavily involved in that. So we really wanted to make food insecurity something that we help our congregation understand. because Park Ridge is a really affluent area, and a young person could be really confused about why somebody would go to a hunger program and make connections. Well, they must be homeless, or they must be this, or they must be that. So this book, Maddie's Fridge, is awesome because it's about two kids in a grade school classroom, and they have two very different things in their fridges and their refrigerators at home, and just helping people understand that hunger can look like a lot of things, and food insecurity is quite invisible to us. And so we like to do that with our kids to help them understand the issues behind why we're asking them to get involved in, whether it's collecting money or walking a walk with us.
That's so important. I'm grateful for people who make those things clear and keep trying, right? We need to constantly tell the story of money and giving and all of those things, for young people to be able to be shaped in both their faith, but also in an understanding of money, right? In money and resource and what it is that we actually share, mm-hmm. right? What it is that we hold in common as part of humanity, as part of creation. And so if you were going to help them, like help everybody this week, you know, engage with the text and think about mission and ministry, you know, how would you engage this week?
These lectionary texts?
Yes, these lectionary texts for the week.
So we don't preach lectionary here. We do sermon series. So I was like, oh, I'm like going back to school a little bit with all these meetings. But I was really drawn to the second reading from James, where it really warns us and helps us understand that the power of our words have. So this passage from James, he's warning about the tongue and how we've really got to try to control our tongue, or our tongues are going to control us. And there's nothing in these last couple weeks specifically that makes me think about the importance of controlling our tongue and the power of our words, but I think the last several years have, and I think we've all been living in that a little bit about how much harm what people can do to each other with just their words, and not having the patience to understand differences and people's different beliefs. So that stood out to me, but then also the power in a positive way that our words can have. When I think about, again, kindness is, I think, just makes sense to young people. I think it really mm-hmm. does. And kids can say really kind things out of nowhere. And I think we forget how to do that, and we don't practice that very often. And so I think encouraging one another that the ways that they can share God's love and God's grace through simple cards or text messages or words or something on their social media can make a huge difference for someone. Because too often what people encounter is the opposite. They encounter, somebody takes a second to say something, post something, tweet something, and it destroys somebody, right? So I think about that a lot. I've also thought about how much I've learned from younger leaders about how we think and talk to ourselves, and the impact that can have. And how we make some incorrect conclusions about how we think God talks to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all could learn some new ways to hear God's voice speaking to us, some kinder ways, some more loving ways, because I think we can be really hard on ourselves.
I think that the pandemic has exacerbated that, right? Just before we hopped on here, Amanda and I were talking about how it's Suicide Prevention Awareness Month.
Right.
And so I think that kind of leans into what y'all are doing around that too. Amanda, would you mind sharing that as well?
Yeah, I had a chance to sit down with some of my high school seniors and interview them for our podcast about what it's like to be a senior right now. Now, you know, a third of their high school experience has been impacted mm-hmm. by COVID. So it was a great chance to get to sit down with them, and mental health and checking in on mental health came up a lot in that conversation. And then I started to see some things on social media about how September is National Suicide Prevention Month and the Awareness Week is this week. And those two things, as well as some personal experience in my own life of friends having severe mental health issues and losing somebody in my class, a church member, friend of mine when I was in eighth grade to suicide, and how really when I think about my life now since then, how much that was my childhood trauma that I spent a lot of my young adult years having to understand. And because she was a church friend too, my faith was all wrapped up in that. And it was Holy Week. Like I had to go to church and sing on Monday, Thursday that night, I found out. So all of that, and it's not really something I talk about in church much. It was a big part of my faith story when I was in high school and college, but then, you know, I went into professional church ministry, and it's not a story I tell very often. But sitting with that story this time and the comments from my teenagers, it was just like, well, why am I not telling that story anymore? It's not relevant anymore because I'm not a 16-year-old trying to unpack this. So I just hopped on Instagram one day and I said, I think we're going to share some stories about stories and resources and tools and try to make this something that we talk about, because you all know someone who's affected by suicide, you know, and you might not know that you are, right? You might not know that you do. So I think the ways that kids are expressing themselves on social media right now and ways that you can connect to them gives us a lot of opportunities to see some of what they're struggling with behind the scenes. And I just wanted to make sure some of what they saw scrolling through Instagram was a word of you're not alone.
Right. Yeah, I think it's so important. I mean, as I've observed, and especially, you know, we look at the epidemic of hopelessness among young people, right, and the ways that suicidal ideation and people taking their own lives is so much a part of the story of youth. You know, it's made me become much more comfortable sharing my own stories of those experiences, of those ideations and those things, and the ways that churches and the church itself was incredibly impactful. But and I find that for Christian leaders, we don't talk about it because there's so much stigma around call and what it means for us to be. It's so often when we talk about mental health as Christian leaders, it's assumed somehow that almost our church leadership is a response to that, right? Like it's our drug for the mental health issue that we can't otherwise engage with. And that's such a I find it to be so harmful to many of our church leaders who feel not only isolated by the nature of the work, but then also feel shamed and shunned for a ministry they both need and also have to extend, because it is so present in our communities.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was sharing with Lauren earlier that I feel like there were some pretty well-known, and I can't remember names now, but there were some well-known, you know, mega church evangelical leaders who had committed suicide, I think in the beginning of 2020 or end of 2019. And that realm of the church was starting to reckon with the pain of hiding that struggle and feeling like you're leading so many people all the time. And so that was the last time I felt like, oh, we need to be talking about this. And then the pandemic happened and I feel like we all just changed our focus. But I think there's something about us not wanting to think that God can't handle these issues, right? And that we just need to believe more or pray more. Churches have taught that. Churches have given that impression to young people, and how dangerous.
And they've done worse, right? The church has done worse in response to people taking their own lives. And so it's a thing for us all to attend to, because it's not a de facto like, oh, no, we love, we are here to support, we are here to help situation in the church. It is not. Right. It's a call, because it's not the story that we tell. We do not tell a story that invites often those who are the most vulnerable in our midst, and especially given the pandemic where we don't have the physical sort of ability to be with one another.
Absolutely.
It is, I think, a sobering and important moment that we're touching with, you know, in congregations like yours and others throughout this season and throughout the church year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Amanda, we would love to talk to you for forever. But knowing that you have limited time, we want to honor that. But I do want to ask you our kind of our final closing question that we ask all of our guests. which is, what is your hope for the future of the church?
Wow. My hope for the future of the church is that it would not be one tied to residing in the places where we've always done church and associated church with, and that we would believe the young people in our midst can be leading that church that is to come, whether that is in their dorm rooms or on YouTube channels or at a bar, I don't know. But I think we need to trust young people with the hope of the gospel, whatever it might look like.
Right.
And I think that that's what our young people need the most, is to have that hope and then know that they're worthy of carrying hope into the world.
Right. And have that belief in them.
Yeah. Even if it looks different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen to that. I am grateful, Amanda Joria, for your presence here. I am grateful to also know the pulpit and the congregation that you serve, and Josh, your co-worker there in ministry. And so I would ask God's blessing upon you, and my gratitude from us in special offerings in the giving catalog for your willingness to be with us and to dance a jig for us and to tell us all about it. And now I would invite everyone to pray with me. O Word of God, Word made person, Word made into material reality, you are our semantic Savior. You are the one that speaks into us and through us and with us the hope you extend into the world. Speak in your voice and in our bodies through our witness and communities, that we might gather unto you a witness that is worthy, worthy of your hope, of your care, of your compassion, and of the fullness of the life that you bring, extending beyond that which we know and beyond that which we can fathom. We do all these things, all these prayers, by word and by deed and by communal expression in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much for being here, Amanda.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see you next week.
Well, thanks again for listening today. And a huge thank you to Bryce and Lauren for inviting me to be a part of this Between Two Pulpits conversation. We covered a lot of different topics in our conversation, but if the topic of suicide is personal to you, we want you to hear us loud and clear that you are not alone. And there are people who can help. And God has not abandoned you. We believe that God's love for us, our faith, makes a difference in how we live every day. And we hope that something you heard in today's conversation helped you believe that too. If you liked today's conversation, leave us a review or share it with a friend. And if you'd like to hear more from us or connect with us, we are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.